Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life with host Janine Davis and special guest, Pastor Jeff Wickwire of Turning Point Church. Today's topic is friendship and relationships.
Good morning. Welcome to Vine Life. I'm your host, Janine Davis. I'm here in the studio with a very special guest, Pastor Jeff Wickwire of Turning Point Church. He is my spiritual covering and authority, and we are going to take up where we left off. Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning, Janine.
How are you this morning? Good?
I'm great.
Good. Well, when we were last here last week, we were talking about relationships and friendships, and you were giving us some differential characteristics to look for. And I asked you right before we broke for the first show, what does a godly relationship look like?
I believe a godly relationship encourages and enhances your walk with God. A godly relationship will not drag you down. It will push you forward. I believe it'll sharpen you. A godly relationship will encourage you. It will, the godly friend will be truthful with you in love. They will not allow you to do something destructive or damaging without facing you and saying, hey, you know, I love you enough to tell you the truth. And yet, if you fall, if you fail, that godly friend will be there. I really believe that when everyone else walks out, a godly friend walks in.
Amen.
And holds your hand and says, you know what? We all make mistakes. Let's go get a cup of coffee. And they're there.
Yes.
And they will walk through. And it's amazing. When you're up and doing great, everybody's your friend.
Oh, sure.
But when you fall and there's a problem, it's amazing how many people exit stage left.
Oh, they scatter, don't
scatter
they?
And yet, that's when you find out who your real friends are.
Yes.
Because they're the ones, and there's not many, that come knocking on your door and saying, look, I'm here.
Okay.
And then you get back up, and all those people that walked away walk back.
Okay, Pastor Jeff, the Spirit is talking to me, and I have to be obedient, okay? There's been many men and women who have come to me and asked for counsel. You are my godly counsel, so I'm going to have to throw this in. And audience, I want you to listen very carefully. A lot of women and men are being hurt in the body of Christ because they have these relationships, maybe at the church or the workplace, where they're of the opposite sex. Some of these people are married. Some of them are not. And I had one woman tell me, I don't have any female relationships because they're always so much drama and messy. And my best friends are guys and their wives are getting upset and blah, 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 blah. And so my first, well, are you friends with their wives? Well, no, their friend, their wife don't like me. But why should I give up this relationship? We've been friends since fourth grade. Or we've been friends since I've started working there for the last 3 or 4 years. Pastor Jeff, this is a question that's been posed to me. Can a woman and a man have a godly relationship and they are not married and they consider themselves to be best friends and that and their wives, their spouses are not included in the mix?
If she's 30 and he's 80.
Okay, audience, you heard that. Spoken from Dr. Pastor Jeff Wickwire.
I would, yes, and I say that tongue in cheek, but I think that question is relative only to a point. I believe for the most part, it's very unwise.
Very dangerous.
If you have a, quote, best friend, I believe your spouse ought to be your best friend.
Yes.
You know, you can have a situation where, seriously, there is a father figure who is really aged, like 70, 80 years old. And, you know, I'm going to be honest, he weighs 300 pounds and there's no way on earth that anything like that could ever happen. I can see a relationship where, you know, there is advice given. There is a fatherly kind of a concern for that person. So I can see that. And but even there, you got to be careful.
But what about the sister brother? Oh, that's my brother.
There, I really believe we should err on the side of caution.
Amen.
Every time. And so I would say if it starts going into where you're sharing secrets, mm-hmm. where you're talking about each other's marriages, mm-hmm. where it's going beyond acquaintance,
yes.
surface level,
mm-hmm.
I would pull back and I would take those things to Jesus or to someone of the same sex.
Absolutely.
I've seen it too often. You can have people who you could look at them and go, no way anything could ever happen there. That would be the odd couple.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
odd couples happen all the time.
Okay.
Because of an emotional mm-hmm. connection.
Yes.
The person doesn't have to be physically beautiful or handsome or attractive at all.
Yes.
Something can take place that causes a chemistry
mm-hmm.
and causes a an intimate sharing of secrets mm-hmm. and personal issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say pull back and don't be stupid
mm-hmm.
and don't be unwise
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
the enemy can breathe the fire of hell on the most unlikely
yes.
match.
And Pastor, could you just talk to the church a minute about ministering one-on-one with the same sex? I mean, you teach us to use godly counsel, and the women, you know, minister with the women, and the men minister with the men,
mm-hmm.
or they have several people
mm-hmm.
that go with them, and that's to cover us.
I don't believe we teach this. You should never be alone with someone of the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't be alone.
Mm-hmm.
This was Billy Graham's motto his whole life.
Okay.
And isn't it amazing? Here's Billy Graham, greatest preacher of the 20th and 21st century, for sure the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
He's been pretty aged now, but in the 21st century. But in the 20th century, he was it.
Mm-hmm.
He preached to more people face-to-face
mm-hmm.
than anybody in the history of the world. But what do we know Billy Graham for when his name comes up in Christian circles now? Here's the word, integrity.
Amen.
What is said about him? There was never a scandal. What was his motto? I will not allow myself to be alone with a member of the opposite sex. Now, I would wager that when he was 30, if there had been an 80-year-old mother-type woman,
right,
you know, who worked somewhere in his office
mm-hmm.
and she went into his office,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that he wouldn't have done that,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
I don't think he would have been quite as concerned
mm-hmm.
as somebody in the age range where something could viably have been said
yes.
that was not true.
Mm-hmm.
So his motto, you know, he wouldn't sit in a restaurant alone. He would not sit in his office alone. You know, in our church, in my office, I had a great big window put in the door.
Mm-hmm.
I had it put in the door so that anybody at any time can look in.
But either your door is open.
Or the door is open.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though it bugs me, because sometimes you want alone time and people look in and it's like, well, where can I go? But it's better
yes.
than having someone be able to say
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a window.
Mm-hmm.
And all the offices where any counseling is done, we have windows. I know of a church where all of the pastor's offices aren't just windows, but the whole front is glass.
Praise God.
Why? Because we live in the day of the accuser.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very careful. But you can have that kind of transparency and still not be wise. I think you lose wisdom when you begin to talk to someone of the opposite sex about personal issues, about marital issues,
okay,
about personal struggles,
mm-hmm.
Things that you should be sharing with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
If you're single, I really think you need to know when to draw the line where you don't share so much personal information.
Yes.
That you open a door
mm-hmm.
that you really may not want open.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be, and we're not dumb. God didn't create dummies. We can tell if something is crossing a line. I really believe in paying attention to the first flag, that first little red flag that waves, where the Holy Spirit gives you that first caution.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that. It'll be a whisper. It won't be a shout. Mm-hmm. It won't be an earthquake or a thunder or a lightning flash. It'll be that little...
subtle.
That little red flag.
Yes.
Deep in your spirit will say, warning. There you need to listen to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. Because, Janine, you can get to a place where your emotions get involved and you can't hear that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you need to listen before you're so emotionally invested.
Yes.
That either you can't hear or you won't hear.
Yes. You know, my husband would always caution me because I'm always getting calls and people want me to go here and there. And he would say, Janine, you need to be careful. And I would always tell John, but that's not in me. I have a lot of problems, but that's not one of them. He said, but you don't know who you're going to see. He said, now I can't go with you. So you let this person set an appointment where I can go with you or one of the boys can go with you. I do not want you going into any situation where there's the opposite sex and just you, period.
It's not the wisest thing.
It's not the wisest thing.
Because if nothing else, somebody could spread a bad report, whether there was anything or not.
Right, right.
Somebody can see you and go, oh, I saw blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Janine with blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it may have been completely harmless,
and
that's where avoid the appearance of evil comes in, because people are very gossipy.
But let me tell you, I got mad at my husband for saying that, because I was like, you don't know me. I would never do that. And he says, but I do know you, and I know you would never do that, Janine.
Yeah.
He said, but you have to be wise. And how many times people don't listen to that kind of counsel because they get offended.
Yeah,
when someone says, just like you just said, Pastor, you know, be wise, don't. They take it in an offensive way.
We tell ourselves, oh, I can handle it.
Right.
I'm
That's
strong.
Pride, though. Isn't that pride?
Yeah. It says, take heed that you stand. In other words, don't think you are standing so tall and straight that you cannot fall.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon fell.
Yes.
David fell. Moses fell. I mean, most of the men of God in the scriptures at one time or another, Peter fell.
Mm-hmm.
Peter said, I can't fall. I'll never deny you. And in hours, he was saying, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him.
Three times. Yes,
cursing.
Yeah.
So the scripture, you have to know. The Bible says, it was a philosopher said, know thyself. Know thyself well. See, I don't trust my flesh. Paul said, in my flesh dwells no good thing.
That's what he said.
I don't trust my flesh. I know that if I give my flesh the wrong opportunity, my flesh will become stronger than my will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I have to be preemptive
and
say, I know there's certain situations that I can't let Jeff Wickwire be in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or my flesh might win the battle. That's why the scripture says that you can't hang around with the ungodly or it will corrupt you. Wrong company will corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't want to be overly paranoid here, because you can also have the Holy Spirit say to you, this person is really good for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have several friends in my life, guys that I've known for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Who walked through hell and back with me, who walked through valleys with me, who I know will tell me the truth, who know me very well and know my weaknesses, and I know their weaknesses. And they're good for me. When I leave, when I go home after having spent time with them, I always feel uplifted, encouraged, good, strengthened,
amen,
peaceful.
Amen.
And that's the way I feel. Now, conversely, I've had friendships in the past that I began to feel that when I left, having been with them, I felt grieved.
Okay.
I felt that the conversation went where it shouldn't have gone.
Okay.
You know, it turned into gossip or things that just didn't need to be discussed.
Okay.
And I had to draw a line with them and say, look, that conversation we had, I didn't really care for.
Okay.
And if they began to drift in their walk, I prayed for them. I would go and encourage them. But if they refused to return and went to be in the world, I eventually could not and did not spend as much time with them because they really refused to listen to the word of the Lord. And I had to just pray for them.
Right. And that's okay.
That's okay.
You established that boundary.
Sure. There is a verse in Psalms 106 that hit me one day. It's incredible. David is rehearsing. He is rehearsing what corrupted the children of Israel. And he's dealing with relationships. And he says, they did not destroy the peoples. Now, this is back when God said, for instance, when you go into the Philistine camp, wipe them out. People have a problem with that, but the Philistines had murdered, plundered, killed. They were totally worthy of capital punishment. And yet, remember, Saul refused to kill them all. And he lost his kingship because of it. But so David says, they did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. But then it says, but they mingled with the Gentiles. Now notice, their fall began with mingling.
Okay.
Now what the enemy says is, oh, that's innocent. You're not with them all the time. You're just shooting the breeze. You're just chewing the fat. You're how's the day? Mingling. You're not, they're not your best buds. You're just mingling. But God had told them, don't even mingle. Now, this is what he told them in the Old Testament. They mingled with the Gentiles. And when the word says Gentiles in Old Testament speak, that was the pagans.
Okay.
They mingled with the ungodly. Then it says, and learned their works. Now, notice, it began with mingling. But as they mingled, they began to learn their lifestyle. So it went from mingling to learning, which means influence.
Right.
They began to be influenced. But then it goes on. They served their idols. Notice the progression. We're going downstairs. It began with mingling, then learning, then serving
other gods.
But look where it ends up, which became a snare to them. They even, now look where they ended up. This blows me away. God's people, God's chosen people, they even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood. Now I want you to look at what happened here. Here they were, God's people, called out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, miraculously delivered. God closed the sea over their enemies, buried their enemies, carried them across the wilderness. He only said, when you get to the promised land, don't you dare mingle with the pagans that I've sent you there to drive out, because they'll be a snare to you. They didn't do it. They disobeyed. So what happened? They mingled. Hey, dude, what's going on? How you doing in Philistine land? But then, as they talked, they began to learn the lifestyle of the ungodly. And then the ungodly began to say, well, you know, we worship other gods. You've got your God, but we've got gods too. Why don't you come with us to our altar, to our church, to where we worship? So they went, and here's these dumb idols, didn't hear, see, speak, feel, nothing. And they began to serve these idols. And that's when God said, I can't do this. I'm going to have to judge them. But then they went all the way down. And these pagans said to them, you know, we sacrifice our children to appease our gods. You should too. And what blows me away is these people got so low, so corrupted by wrong relationships that they took little Johnny, little Susie, their beautiful little children, and they laid them into the red hot hands of a false god, Moloch, and watch them burn alive to appease gods that didn't exist. Now, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
And our listeners a question. Do you think if you had told them when they first started mingling that they were going to one day sacrifice their precious children by burning them alive to a false god, they would have said,
"Oh,
you
no way.
Are crazy."
Right. Yeah.
But it goes to show you how corruption is incremental.
And that's how the enemy works since the beginning of time.
Oh,
inching his way,
right.
Little by little by little by little.
He knows he won't take you from light to dark in one day.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody falls overnight. It is incremental. It happens in stages. A little compromise here, a little compromise there. And there is nothing that will take you that route faster than a corrupting relationship.
Nations have fallen. Churches have fallen.
That's why America is where it is, Janine.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Totally corrupted.
It's corrupted.
Because we have lost our Judeo-Christian foundation by constantly giving ground to the ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the opposite is true. If you get a godly relationship, instead of going down that staircase, a godly relationship will carry you up where you end up on a level you wouldn't have been if you hadn't had that godly relationship.
Yes, yes, yes. You know what? I'm studying Molière, the play about Tartuffe, and it happened over 400 years ago. You know, it's a medieval. But even then, it was a religious play, and it talked about Orgon, who was a great man of God, a king or whatever, you know, helped this beggar, brought this beggar into his house, and this beggar, you know, started giving him all this divine compliments and this and that, and it just ended up in a place where this man didn't listen to any of his family, friends, wife, that this guy was the devil in disguise. Until the very end, you know, and I said, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Not much has changed. This is supposed to be a comedy, but there's so much truth to these French plays, you know, and especially in the church.
Yeah.
There's so much truth. I mean, people, they can, you know, see that you need or that you're hungering for a friendship and you need these compliments and you need people to tell you how great you are 24/7.
Yeah.
But it's not coming from a place of God. It's not coming from a motivation of love. It's coming from a place of wickedness and evilness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to build up the kingdom, but to tear the kingdom down. And Pastor, if you've ever listened to my show, I have this thing in my heart and spirit for men to take dominion. And you know, my son listened to the show by logging on to the internet one day, and he said, "Mom, what do you mean when you say take dominion? I'm saying submitting to the Lord thy God, everything yourself." Because that's the starting point. That's the basis of taking dominion over anything, is if you can take dominion over yourself today. The Bible talks about the mouth, the tongue, your actions, your choices, your decisions.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Of course, you go into a lot of churches and people are saying, "Oh, we're going to take this city. We're going to take this government. We're going to take America. We're going to." But I'm asking people to take yourself right where you are right now. With the Lordship of Jesus Christ, with that relationship in your life, and allow him to come in and take dominion over your thoughts, over your mind, over what you say, over your physical relationships with people that you know every day. To me, that's taking dominion.
Yep.
And then I go on to say that the woman and the children in your life will fall into place.
Yes, and a man has got to begin with Jesus and making him Lord.
Yes.
And if the man makes Jesus Lord, well, you don't actually make Jesus Lord. He's Lord. But if he allows him to be the Lord of his life, then the relationships will fall into place.
Because
you will immediately know, I can't run with these people. The scripture says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. No fellowship. Well, how do you fellowship with a work of darkness? Well, you relate to it. You relate with a work of darkness. And it can be a person. It can be TV shows. It can be what you read. It can be what you look at. I mean, the unfruitful works of darkness are all around us. He says, fellowship, koinonia, don't fellowship with works that are dark. with people who are dark, with things that are dark. So, you know, it comes down to really, you can fellowship with a magazine. You can fellowship with a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You can fellowship with a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You can fellowship with sites on the internet you should not be at.
Mm-hmm.
That's fellowshipping. Mm-hmm. You're opening up your soul
mm-hmm.
to a relationship with those things.
Mm-hmm.
So in a nutshell, I'm so glad we could talk about this.
Yes, it's important.
These two Saturdays,
yes,
because
yes.
It's so crucial.
It's crucial.
We must choose wise relationships.
Yes.
If we're going to be all we can be in God.
Yes. And audience, I just want to tell you that I've read this book twice. It's Dr. Jeff Wickwire's Friendships. I'm Avoiding the Ones That Hurt and Finding the Ones That Heal, because this book helped me to set boundaries in my life with the ungodly relationships and the godly relationships. And I hope you get a hold of it. Pastor, I'm going to ask that you pray us out.
Father, we just thank you for our precious listeners. And Lord, some of them may be in relationships that they need to distance themselves from. Maybe that they even need to cut off and say goodbye for the sake of their own walk. And Lord, they're also going to need godly relationships. And we pray that if they have to say goodbye to one, they will say hello to another. A good one that you bring into their life. But help us to enter this new year, Lord, wise in the relationships of our life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus, amen. Audience, this time and next, stay connected to the true vine, which is in Jesus Christ. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening to Vine Life. For more information on today's show, you can go to www.theinterviews.com. This show brought to you by Vine Life Ministries.